We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a man that played in the National Football League for 10 seasons. You can catch him on Mad Dog Sports Radio right now, also CBS Sports HQ, and that is Lijay Dusabel. Lijay, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, I got to give you credit because we talked to you.
I just wanted to make sure that you remembered. I was not going to let you forget.
I'm actually surprised that you remembered because there's so many things that I don't even remember. But for people that have no clue what we're talking about, we may need to ask Lijay Dusabel for the lottery numbers tonight because before the year started, you were the only person in America, the world, that said, don't be surprised if the Jets finish in second place in the AFC East. So I got to tip my cap to you, my friend.
I appreciate that, Zach. You know, it takes a big man to admit when, you know, you were kind of trying to play me a little bit because you thought, are you serious? The second or third place? I was like, do not be surprised. I just knew everything the Jets had added, the culture they were building. And I've been trying to tell everybody, nobody's afraid of the Patriots anymore. Like, nobody. Like, Tom Brady is gone. Like, the big bad wolf is gone. He's in Tampa now, and they're even struggling there right now. So I really felt like it was going to be a push between them and the Miami Dolphins. They've had some injury issues. We've had some, but we've been able to overcome those injuries.
Yeah, the Patriots stink. And I said before the start of the season that they weren't going to make the playoffs, but I didn't think that they'd be sitting in the bottom of this AFC East.
Mm. I mean, the Chicago Bears ran through them Monday Night Football. I mean, that's literally all you need to know.
What did you make of the whole Belichick situation and handling the quarterbacks? Because that was one of the more bizarre things I've ever seen.
The Patriots are smug. They've always been smug. They really think they're just smarter than everybody. I mean, it goes back to the offseason, and you mentioned it. You know, I host a five-day-a-week show on SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, called I Am Athlete Tonight. And I remember, I think, in late July or even early when they decided to, you know, make Matt Patricia and Joe Judge and put them on the offensive side of the ball, I said, this is going to hurt Mac Jones' development. Yeah, think about it. He had a really bright, offensive-minded guy, Josh McDaniels, who ends up getting a job and leaving and going for the Las Vegas Raiders, right? Congratulations. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to elevate yourself. But the smugness in Bill Belichick to think that he can hire a guy just because he has a high IQ and he's been on the defensive side of the ball his whole career and think he's going to be a good offensive coordinator, it's just like the Patriots really just think they can outsmart everybody. And then I just hate how they operate and do things. Like, reporters are asking you direct questions. If Mac Jones is healthy, does he retain his job? Well, that's a hypothetical. That's not a hypothetical question. That's a clear-cut question. If the kid is healthy, does he go back to being a starter? And they just try to outsmart everybody. And the crazy thing is that it's like, it's not like him and Bailey Zappe are two different athletic quarterbacks. Like, you're simply going to be preparing the same way we played the New England Patriots. So you doing that is not really changing how the defensive coordinator is planning to play you that week. And we saw it versus Chicago Bears. Like, I think it matters when most of your offensive starters don't even know who's going to start in the game. Like, a lot of them came out and said it. Jacoby Myers, Ramondre Stevenson, Hunter Henry. They all came out like, we didn't know that Bailey Zappe was going to play this game. I think they all assumed that Mac Jones was going to be the starter again, and then he gets pulled after three series, and Bailey Zappe stays in, and he throws two interceptions in the second half. Now, they come out today and say Mac Jones is going to be the starter. Well, actually, Bill Belichick still hasn't formally said that, right? Supposedly, Mac Jones took 90% of the snaps, and through sources, I always throw quotation marks up with that, he will start this week, which I think is the right thing, right? You took a guy in the first round, you just don't give up on him that early because Bailey Zappe had one decent game. And I love Bailey Zappe. I think he can spend it with some of the best of them. But let's not get it twisted. That Cleveland Browns defense is horrible. And a lot of those passes down the field were busted coverages and guys were wide open. So, I mean, Mac Jones is a guy that everybody was saying, you know, from New England could be the next Tom Brady. And now all of a sudden he's not good enough to be the starter anymore. I really do like Bailey Zappe because I think he gives you that element as far as throwing the ball down the field. Mac Jones is more methodical. He's going to methodically move the ball down the field. I think Bailey Zappe gives you a different, you know, envelope when it comes to a guy that can really test you down the field. But the Patriots offense has always been dink and dunk and based off the run game. So I think Mac Jones deserves the right to get back in the starting rotation. I don't think it's going to matter, though, Zach, because they set this kid up the field by what they did this offseason with his coaches.
And it's not just the coaching, because I'm in full agreement with you on the coaching. Patricia and Joe Judge coaching this kid up makes zero sense to me. Look at the teams that are starting to get some good play out of their young quarterbacks, like a Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, also a Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. they're getting legit weapons around him. And for years, because you had Tom Brady, you could afford to lose a Randy Moss. You could afford to lose a Wes Welker, and there was always that next guy up. You don't have Tom Brady anymore, so they got to go get legit number one wide receivers. And don't get me wrong, Jacoby Myers is a nice player in this league, but he's their best receiver. He's not a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, Zach, they've actually got good contributions from Devontae Parker. I mean, this is a guy that's been hurt his whole career. This is how, I don't want to say low, the Miami Dolphins think of him, but they traded him within the division. That says something. Well, you're not worried about playing against the guy now. Again, he's played actually really well. He's not a guy that really separates from defenders, but he's a guy that can go up and get the ball, you know, 50-50 balls and one-on-one coverage. And he's actually done that pretty well this year. Really gave him the spark the last few weeks in doing that with Bailey Zappe. We'll see if he can continue to stay healthy, because that's always been his biggest issue. But like you said, as far as just like the playmakers around him, like, some of the guys that they paid a lot of money to, they don't like. Jonnu Smith is a good player. For some reason, they don't even run plays for him. I don't understand it. You can see the elation in him last week when Bailey Zappe came in. He had a big explosive run and catch, and even in the Cleveland game, like, they don't use him. He usually gets like one target a game, which is absurd, because he literally, I think, got paid more than Hunter Henry in the beginning of last year. They used him more than Hunter Henry started being the guy in the red zone, and I don't even use Jonnu Smith except for a glorified offensive tackle. So, like, I just don't understand the game plan. Again, Tom Brady, when he was there, and even now in Tampa Bay, he's always been a quick dink-and-dunk guy, get the ball out of his hand, know exactly where to go with the football. And Mac Jones has kind of been that way as well, but that was with Josh McDaniels last year. It just seems like the kid has lost, you know, this year. Has 6 interceptions in only 3.25 games. Like, that's absurd. And I think it's because of the coaching. And supposedly there was a rift up there. He was you know, questioning New England about why they hired these two guys to coach him. And then also an issue about his ankle injury, how he was supposed to handle it. They wanted him to get surgery. He refused to do it. So we'll see how this plays out for the New England Patriots going forward throughout the rest of the year.
Lije Duzabal here with us. So the Jets, as we were talking about to open things up, are 5-2 to start off the season. Unfortunate injury news with Breece Hall and Elijah Vera Tucker going down for the season. But I like, in a moment like that where you wonder, okay, where are the Jets going to go from here after losing two of their better offensive players? They go out and acquire James Robinson. It just shows you, for the first time in a long time, the Jets have a competent coach, and they also have a GM that knows what he's doing.
And it's funny that we're talking about this, Zach, because I literally think yesterday, about 4 or 5 hours before the trade happened, I literally tweeted, free James Robinson. And it had nothing to do with my Jets, right? I would have loved that. And there's a couple of people were like, I would love to get him. People were like, we should get him. I was like, I would love to get him. I didn't think it was going to happen, because I thought Jacksonville would be stupid as hell to trade him over there. But
they've disrespected him for 2 years. Urban Meyer, for whatever reason, didn't care about him. And because Urban drafted ATN in the first round, you kind of have to use now ATN. But Robinson's a heck of a player.
Nah, it's Trent Bulky. It goes down to him. Like,
fair.
Again, when you draft a guy in the first round and you have a running back going into a second year that had 1,000 yards, I want to say over 1,400 all-purpose yards, like, you don't draft the running back in the first round when you have that. And you have it for cheap, Zach. He was an undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
There was no reason for Travis Etienne to be to get drafted in the first round. He goes down, and James Robinson does what he always does. He plays extremely well. Now, going into this year, it's supposed to be 50-50 flow. And if you look at the first 3 weeks of the season, even though James Robinson came off the Achilles, he was playing really well the first 3 weeks. The last 3 weeks, I don't know if Trent Baalke got in Doug Peterson's head and was like, hey, we got to really start featuring this kid more, because I took him in the first round. But that's dumb. That was the dumbest thing they could have ever done, right? They should have kept it at 50-50. And if you heard James Robinson speak today to reporters up in New York, that's literally what he thought. He was like, I thought it was going to be 50-50. It started off that way. And then, you know, they tried to use my knee soreness as an issue. He was like, I've always had knee soreness. Like, you know, playing running back, you're going to get beat up. So I'm going to be a little sore. But he was like, I was healthy enough to play. I mean, I played 12 snaps, and they didn't give me one carry last week. So I was just glad that he got released and was free. Not released, but released as far as being on, you know, being in jail in Jacksonville and them not using him and disrespecting him for the last 2 years. Now he goes to a team. Again, he's not Breece Hall. This guy is perfectly fit for this offense as far as a one-cut, get-downhill runner. That's what he does. Now, Breece Hall is a different element because of how explosive it is. He can take runs 50, 60 yards. With James Robinson, even though he has one of those runs this year already versus the Chargers, he's going to get you them tough 4 or 5 runs that turn into 20 yards. He's a hard guy to bring down. And I think the most important thing, a thing that Mike LaFleur really loves is his pass protection ability in the backfield. That's going to help Zach Wilson feel comfortable in the pocket where he can throw the ball down the field and not have to evade defenders and try to leave the pocket too early because he has a running back that will stand up in there and block for him.
Lijay Duzabal here with us. All right, Mr. Clairvoyant, after your big Jets prediction before the start of the year, how are we talking about Zach Wilson at the end of the season?
It's to be determined, to be honest, Zach. You got to think, this guy missed 7 weeks because of the knee injury that he sustained in the first preseason game, right? So, essentially, the last four games have been the preseason for Zach Wilson. Right now, I think more is going to be asked of him now with the loss of Elijah Vera Tucker and also the loss of Breece Hall. But this, like, don't get it twisted. This offense is based off the run game. The Shanahan tree, if you look at it, right, everything is based off the run game. They're going to run the football. Now, do I think they go on the uptick of Zach potentially throwing 25 times a game instead of just 18 or 20? Yes, I think he ends up throwing, you know, a little bit more as the season goes on. We know the issue with Elijah Moore asking for a trade. He was back at practice. I'm not saying all is well with that because I think he's going to have to earn some of the respect back from his teammates. But I think they start trying to get him and Garrett Wilson going more this week. And again, everything's going to be based off the run game. And as Zach gets more comfortable, I think Mike LaFleur will put more on his plate.
When it comes to Russell Wilson, it seems like he's just trying too hard to be a star and he's losing focus on football. If I was a teammate of his, I know you can't pull him aside because he's the quarterback. They just gave him all that money. I'd be like, dude, just stop. Like, you're so cringeworthy. The guy's got to be laughing at him right now, right?
Man, what can you say? Like you said, they literally just gave him 160 plus guaranteed. So it's like, you go to him like, yo, Russ, I know you've been doing this for 10 years, but come on, bro. You're just doing a little bit too much. Like, what player on that team is comfortable to do that, Zach? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's like, you damn if you do, you damn if you don't. You don't say anything to him. It's like, he continues to do it, and he might do it anyway, whether you say something to him or not. And then it's like, who's comfortable enough to go out there and say that? I think literally the only person on that team that has that type of juice right now is Patrick Surtain II. Like, he's a young guy, so he's not going to go say anything to Russell Wilson. I think he's just living and really leaning into it now at this point, because there's no way, as much as he is on social media, he doesn't see what everybody's saying, you know? So I think he's literally just leaning into it now, because that's literally what it is, as far as, you know, people are calling him corny or, as you said, cringeworthy. I think he just is going with the flow, because at this point he's like, I mean, what else can, you know, what else can go wrong? Like, I've played worse than I've ever played in my career. You know, the Subway commercial comes out. That's a little corny, but it's kind of right up his alley. And it's
how about today, the high
him.
Knees on the airplane going out to London? Like, yeah, come on, that's a bunch of bull crap.
It's almost like he's just trying to be seen now,
yeah,
you know?
I would say sit me far away as possible from that guy if I was on that flight. That's a guy that doesn't shut up during a flight.
8 hours. This is my thing. I tweeted this out. Like, I was like, so you're telling me you did a workout for 4 hours? You were on that plane funky for 4 hours? Because it's 4 more hours after that, right? So you were sitting on that plane. I don't know who he was sitting next to. He's probably in first class. I flew out to London. Most of the starters sit in first class, or the veteran guys sit in first class. Whoever you was next to you was probably like, bro, you just going to sweat on this flight for four, and we got 4 more hours on here? Did you at least get a shower pill? You know what I'm saying? Like, the little wipes, the shower pill wipes, and wipe yourself off? Like, dude, what are you doing? We got 4 more hours on this flight, and you're going to be breathing hard and sweating and stink.
If you'd take a guess, where's Sean Payton coaching next year?
Everything in my heart tells me Dallas, right? And the only way Dallas, Mike McCarthy, I think, stays in Dallas is if they go to the NFC Championship. That's the floor for them. Because everybody knows the relationship that Jerry Jones and Sean Payton has. And
which is a shame, because he's actually done a good job this year since Dak's gone down.
Yeah, he has. So I think some respect needs to be paid to him. I just think Jerry loves Sean Payton, right? And if they get to the NFC Championship, I think it'll be hard-pressed. So you can't really fire a coach to get to the NFC Championship. But if they get bounced first round again, guarantee Sean Payton's going to Dallas.
I would want the Chargers job. I'd be rooting for Brandon Staley to keep on
messing
things up.
Oh, my God. What he could do with Jay Herbo, man, that is a match made. And I would love for him to go to the Chargers. The way Brandon Staley coaching, yeah, he might be up out of there after this year.
You know what job I wouldn't want? I would not want the Broncos job. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's tough, man. Honestly, there's rumors that they don't beat the Jaguars, which, yeah, again, if you look at the history, the Jaguars are on fire in London. Right? They're literally the London team. So it kind of sucks for Nathaniel Hackett because he's actually going into a buzzsaw because Jacksonville usually doesn't lose up there in London. So there's rumors if he loses this week, he could potentially be out of there after this week.
Last thing that I'll just float out to you, Ligier Duzibal, is always great when he joins us on the Zach Gelb Show. LaFleur, 13-3 his first 3 years in the league. Rodgers last week saying they need to simplify the offense. This week he's saying, guys, to keep on making mistakes, it's time to cut those reps. Is there a chance this offseason with that dead cap number so large if Aaron Rodgers were to retire that Rodgers tries to force out Matt LaFleur?
I mean, I think he tried to do it his first year, right? And supposedly Brian Gutekunst said don't make trouble, you know, for the head coach. But I go to this, right? LaFleur came into a ready-made situation. Like, I know Mike McCarthy got fired, but like he still had one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. They revamped the whole defense that offseason. They got guys like Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith as well. But Rashawn Gary got drafted. Like, he came into a great situation. Let's not get it twisted. When he was with the Tennessee Titans as the offensive coordinator, he was middle of the pack. Like, people tend to forget that because of all the wins they've had the first 3 years. Now, again, Aaron Rodgers didn't play extremely great the first year, and it's hard for any quarterback in this system to play extremely great in the very first year. It's a difficult system. It's a Shanahan tree. But let's not forget, Aaron Rodgers has back-to-back MVPs. Like, he's had MVPs before Matt LaFleur was there. So, like, this team was a made-ready team. It'll be interesting if they say they don't make the playoffs. Do they potentially, I mean, can you fire a coach who's had so much success, even though it's practically based off what the quarterback has done? It'll be something interesting to look at in this offseason, Zach.
Ligier Duzibal, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much. I'm sure we'll get you on again soon, and we'll make fun of something I got wrong and that you got right.
All right, appreciate you.